What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A doobie doobie dabby, tell me your hobby, shadoink!
Oh. Okay, I'm in on it. I think that's great.
Shit. Shadoink?
You couldn't leave it.
Shadoink is the loudest word anybody's ever said. I don't even know if capital letters does that word justice. That's capital, underline, exclamation point, bold.
Trademarked.
Now, was that show me your hobbies?
No, doobie doobie.
I said tell me your. I don't know, man.
Shadoink.
I blacked out and then I said shadoink.
Welcome in to the Spitballers.
Make an annoyed, though. I like that word.
That's a
shadoink.
I mean, worse words could have come out your mouth.
Yeah, not bad.
Spitballers episode 272. Welcome in. Would you rather life advice and a draft? Today we are drafting hobbies you'd like to try. Hobbies you'd like to try. So that should be fun. I may or may not have started to build. I started to build a list, and
yeah.
I was trying to type it to myself in a little private channel
mm-hmm.
where I keep my mm-hmm. notes, and I might have posted my entire list in a more of a community channel with you two gentlemen.
Oh, man. Well, did you delete it?
Well, you screenshot it.
You're darn right I did. Not letting that go. Not letting that
go. Of all the things to copy, hobbies that I'd want to try.
Well, I got to draft them before you, my friend.
So we're doing that today. Yeah, in the Spitballers channels where I put it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's a good place.
And then I heard you start to read them, and then I go, oh.
Oh, you've got a similar list.
I didn't know we were so similar.
Well, let's kick it off. By the way, you can follow the show on X at Spitballers Pod. We appreciate your reviews of the show on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And we always, always want to encourage you. Share some joy with the friends and family in your life. Tell them about the Spitballers Podcast. Make their lives that much happier. Here we go.
Would you rather?
Would you rather question? Would you rather bite into a chicken strip
coming
and
out
discover
hot.
It's raw? Or eat a bowl of cereal and realize the milk is curdled halfway through?
Ooh.
These are both bad.
Halfway through?
Yeah, at least in one, it's like you start to bite. Oh, no, what is this?
Well,
not ingest it.
Yeah, I was going to say the halfway through means that you swallowed like a bunch of bad milk.
Yeah.
It's funny because our family, my wife, she just celebrated a birthday. We went to the Melting Pot last night. The Melting Pot, if you don't know, it is a fondue restaurant. And they have come up with a way to charge you 8 times the money to do your own work.
Mm-hmm.
And but it is fun and it's delicious. And our couple kids had never been there. And you have, you know, your cheese fondue at the beginning, and then you've got your main course. And they bring out raw steak, fish, shrimp, you know, whatever you order, and raw chicken. Okay? Now, you know, if you cook your steak raw, whatever, it's fine, right? Because it's a slab of
mostly,
meat.
Mostly, yeah.
So the inside of the raw meat has not been exposed to bacteria. Whereas like a chicken, you don't want to eat undercooked chicken. So I'm thinking, why do they let people cook their own chicken, man?
It seems
I was paranoid. I cooked my chicken and I'd be like, oh, this is a little too soft. Did I undercook my chicken?
It seems a health hazard.
It does.
For a restaurant
it's a
to
liability.
Allow that to happen. And yeah, I have one way of cooking chicken, and that is to annihilate it.
Just blow it away.
Yeah, I don't
cook it till it's a brick of chicken.
I don't trust the thermometers. I like you do the cut test and look at the color of the meat. You're like, nope, 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 nope. That is not charred enough.
Yeah. The potential bad that comes out of this, I'm eating the bowl of cereal with the...
Really?
Yes, because of this. One, I've enjoyed half a bowl of cereal. Clearly. I didn't notice until halfway through.
Okay.
Which means
okay.
I'm going to make the extrapolation that it's not that bad.
It doesn't
so you
taste...
So you can mentally do that?
I think I could... Because I'm not worried about getting like salmonella poisoning and being in the hospital.
Yeah, but it's just a bite.
Let me tell you a little story.
My father
spit it out.
No, yeah. My father once was, this was when I was a child, eating some Frosted Mini Wheats. And he was enjoying this nice bowl of Frosted Mini Wheats.
Okay.
Enjoying it. Mm. He ate over half of this bowl. In fact, I think he almost had finished the bowl when he noticed late into the cereal bowl.
How is this possible?
That there were
little tiny bugs. No! Oh, bugs? Oh, okay. All right.
What were you thinking?
Chunks. You're just, I thought you were coming with the turtle.
No. You're
wait, bugs over chunks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
No.
That's surprising.
No, because
give me the yogurt chunks over the bugs.
Oh. No, because I can eat bug. I'm going to feel gross. I will feel terrible. But my anxiety, if I ate a half a bowl of something that was I deemed to be spoiled, I am the expiration date on the milk. This is law. Like,
oh, for sure.
You cannot compromise. There is no court that can overpower.
No smell?
No, smell test? No way.
It doesn't. You can't trust the nose.
I'll smell. No, wait. Hold on. Let me ask this question real quick. Clarity on the law.
Okay.
I just want to understand what is on the books.
Yep.
The date on there. If you look at your watch, it's the same date.
Yeah, that's bleach inside that. Inside that gallon. It might as well be bleach.
So it expires actually like at midnight when that day begins?
That's right. Exactly.
Now, Mike, do you go through the full day?
Eastern Standard Time.
I would like to believe I could, but I'm guessing that if I went and grabbed the milk and it was day of, I go, it's not worth the risk.
It's not worth it, man.
What if you don't have any more milk?
You're eating something else.
What if you've already poured your cereal in the bowl and you're waiting to pour the milk in?
Then you pour the cereal with the everything in the garbage.
You have to dispose of the cereal because you made a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, mistakes are mistakes.
And the thing for the smell test is, to me at least, all milk kind of smells like it's on the verge of going bad. No matter when I smell it, I know that. Look, rotten milk is horrific, but there's the point where it's turning.
Have you ever?
And people with sophisticated sense of smell, like my wife, could tell you if it's rotten. I'm like, it's probably rotten.
Here's the problem.
It's brand new. It's probably rotten.
It smells different if you already read the expiration date.
That's a great point.
You really want to smell it first.
If I read the expiration date, and then I would never smell it after that because I know it will make me gag. No matter what, I open that the ammonia that is coming out.
Ammonia.
In my mind.
Well, there's some kind of poison.
Milk
it's not going to hurt you if you eat raw milk. If you eat raw milk,
if you're eating milk, it's hurting you.
If you're eating it, I see what you're saying.
The anxiety that I will have for the rest of the day after consuming half of a bowl of, then I find out it's, in my mind, poison. I'm just going to, at every moment, go, here we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
How bad is that with the chicken, though?
But I can spit it out.
Yeah, but you know there's like salmonella
stuff inside your mouth.
Residue. So,
to just finish that little story about my dad.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. This is a great sidetrack. But Andy was saying he has enjoyed this, you know, half a bowl of cereal, uh-huh. And then he found out it was curdled. Well, my dad did throw up.
Oh.
He had enjoyed it, but the knowledge of, I just had a bunch of bugs.
Wait, so he didn't like receive that information with, oh, well.
No.
He received it with, uh-oh.
Yeah. He received that with, oh, my gosh, I have just eaten food that has been infested with bugs.
And if there's, honestly, though, okay, now that you're thinking about it, if there's bugs in there, it's because this milk is already poisoned. Like, this milk has gone bad.
Yeah, whether it's in the cereal.
But I'm saying, like, bugs, to me, bugs don't want fresh milk. They're not mammals. They're bugs. Well, they want dirty, nasty, disgusting, rotten milk.
The bugs were in the cereal.
Ah, okay.
Because we looked into the box of cereal.
Yeah, that makes far more sense.
And found more. It wasn't in the milk. But my point is, once you discover what you have eaten.
Yes.
Yep. You can still pay the penalty on all of it, mentally. It's not like, it was good until then.
What's the final word here? By the way, when you do the smell test, I assume you also then subject someone else in your family to confirm the smell?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Especially
I'm always like, you smell this now.
100%.
Like I am the worst with having good intentions with a nice chicken dinner, but then you defrost and you put it in the fridge and it's like you don't make it the next day. You know, and chicken, once you put it in the fridge, the timer is going. And chicken, just like milk, always smells like it's gone bad.
Chicken always smells like it's gone bad.
Yeah, it smells like a fart.
Never opened a fresh, brand new piece of chicken.
That's why Mike makes it well done.
Just breathe it. Just, you know.
Mike cooks it so long.
Is that some fresh, raw chicken?
Mike cooks as long as like a powder at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You touch it and just poof.
So when this question was asked, I thought to myself, well, like, I know that you can get, you know, you always hear, oh, you can get salmonella from chicken. You gotta cook it well. But how likely are you to actually get sick or not get sick if you are touching raw chicken? Because we all touch raw chicken. We cook. The three of us have cooked. We've handled raw chicken before. We rinse our hands or wash our hands or whatever.
I soap wash my hands after every step with raw chicken. Big salmonella has...
I don't know that they've done enough because I started researching this.
It's not good, man.
Yes, Big Salmonella.
Well, Big Salmonella is doing a great job. Let me tell you what they're doing out there. The CDC estimates that Salmonella...
That looking at chicken...
causes more foodborne illness than any other bacteria. Chicken is a major source of the illness. In fact, and this is from CDC.gov.
According to my data...
About one in every 25 packages of chicken at the grocery store are contaminated with salmonella.
All right, I'm out.
And even slightly undercooked chicken will not kill it. So it's like you're
one in this is at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Like,
cook your chicken, man.
Why are we eating chicken?
Because it's good.
It's not that good.
Oh, it's good.
It's not as good as steak.
I like chicken a lot.
Yeah, but think about what you got to do then. One in 25 have it. And then you got to undercook it. Right? Or not wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So then those two have to come together. Like maybe, let's just say one out of every 50 times you cook chicken, you accidentally undercook it. And then one in 25 packages has salmonella. Do the math, Jason, right now.
You have a 12% chance of...
No. It's
well,
way...
I'm going to put out a cookbook about how you prepare chicken safely.
How to overcook your chicken. By Mike Wright.
First, you're going to fry it for 5 minutes each side. Yeah. Then put it in the oven at 475 degrees for 10 to 25 minutes.
Yep.
And once it's done, microwave it.
They put it in the air fryer.
Yeah, put in the air fryer and microwave it. Final step.
All right. I am, I'm staying away from the chicken. Final answer.
I cannot have ingested it.
I'm going to.
Or my day is ruined.
I can't eat that milk. I can't eat that milk. I'm gonna hope that. Look, 1 in 25, just that alone. Okay.
I mean, those are. When it comes to odds, that's not too bad.
24 out of 25. This does not have salmonella.
Yeah. How many times have you eaten chicken in your life? 25 times?
No, a lot more than that. But this is just a one off.
Yeah.
I took a bite of raw chicken. All right. I think I'm taking the odds.
I mean, you're doing the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather have to push start your car every time you go somewhere?
like the Flintstones?
Well, that's funny. Or have to climb in through a second floor window every time you come home?
Okay.
Do I get a...
Can
I lock the ladder in or do I have to set the ladder up every time, Josh?
Do I have to climb an actual lattice?
The ladder is there, but you have to climb it every time.
Okay.
All right.
But
do you imagine how bad bringing the groceries in would become?
Now, is it just your, it's every time you come home. So it's the first time in. So you can climb up into the window and then unlock your door.
Right. And then and then just take the groceries in. It's just when you get home, you got to go in through
your first entry
story window.
If that's true, that's not that bad.
It's not that bad to climb a ladder to crawl.
It's a lot better than push start in my car, brother. If I have to go in a ladder once, just when I come home, that's fun. I'd like to go in my...
You know, I'm going
to
do that right now.
I mean, that's a good time.
You can do this. You can open a window and just, you know, start doing that every time you get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do
it.
Has anyone ever put like an ornate front door looking like a like a front? And I'm not talking about a nice stair entrance. I'm saying there's just a door, but it's a fancy looking front door and there's nothing underneath it. It's just
you're saying on the second story. No, you can't even stand in front of it.
Right. You have to have a ladder to get in.
No, no one has ever done that. To answer your question, no one has ever done that.
I feel like there are some like super large houses that have a faux door at the end of a hallway or something. So on the other side, there's technically...
Well, yeah, if you're in Toontown, that happens.
Oh, that's true.
It is from Toontown, yes. But I don't know. I'm in on this ladder thing.
Think it could be fun?
Yeah, I mean, I figure I've got a chute on the other side of the house.
How fast do you have... Chute to, like, to get out?
Yeah.
This is based on the popular board game.
Yeah, chutes and ladders.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm
because I haven't heard a slide referred to as a chute in quite a while.
Yeah.
I was like, what is a chute? Like garbage chute?
Yeah. Or laundry. How fast do you, like, what speed do you have to get a car up to for it to push start?
Oh, boy.
I don't think you're going to be able to get it going fast. Especially
Papa Josh should know this.
How fast can
you push
a car? Papa
Josh has worked in the automobile industry.
It's like 5 miles an hour. It's not. It's not much. It's
you need space
though,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
imagine being parked like parallel parked on the street, and then you're like, I gotta get out of here.
Oh, parallel parked would be.
You're gonna have to go right out into the road, and people can.
Well, you just if you were parallel parked, what you would have to do, and you're by yourself, is you would have to turn the wheel, get out, go push it. A few inches.
The by yourself thing.
Backwards. Go get in the car. Turn the wheel the other way. Go back the other side.
It would take 30
behind
minutes.
The car and push it 4 more inches. And you'd have to keep pushing your car back and forward, Austin Powers style, while stopping in the car to turn the wheel each time before you could finally push start it fast enough to get going.
But you have to run into the car.
No. You go door out.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking maybe you could strategically just park on hills and get this thing really
you
going.
You could, yeah.
Well, like, would you pull up when you park and like leave your back tires up on a curb?
just for a little boost?
I don't know. I'm just thinking like...
I don't think the speed will be the real problem.
No?
I mean...
Space?
Space is much more... Like you would
like
never parallel park
taking
ever.
Off.
But now it's like... Think about every single time you ever get in your car. How often, if ever, do you get in your car, start it up, and drive forward? Only
if you back in.
Those great moments.
Or the pull-throughs.
The pull-through. Like, oh, man, the car in the parking spot in front of me is gone.
I had an embarrassingly over-exuberant joy when I pulled into a spot the other day. And I was like, ooh, a pull through. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because.
Can't wait to get out of here.
That's the issue I have with this push to start, is that you're always going to have to start pushing it backwards.
To get out.
Yeah.
You're going
to
change your habits. You're only looking for pull throughs.
You can back into the garage.
I guess you're just backing in every parking
spot. The answer is for me very clearly, I want the ladder situation. I'm very intrigued by it. I think it could be fun.
And it's
imagine being pursued by a robber in that scenario. You're not getting into my house, and then they have to climb the ladder after you.
Yeah.
You think I want? Wait a minute. Hold up. You're saying that this is if you're being pursued by a robber, by a villain here, that you want to climb a ladder in front of them.
It's the best place to be when being pursued.
I think it's the if I was let me put myself in the criminals.
Yeah, come on up.
Space,
okay. Come on up, buddy.
You're trying to get away from me.
I get my feet.
I'm just pulling the ladder, bro.
You make a good point.
You're on a ladder.
I'm talking about.
Well, I'm just going.
But
okay,
I was talking about both people on a ladder. Yeah, that's the best scenario.
The rules of the villain are they have to climb the ladder.
Yes. And guess what? I'm kicking them. They fall off the ladder. What's the word? Shadoink. Right onto the ground.
If there is a rule that all people chasing you must. Continue up the ladder.
They're trying to break into my house. If they pull the ladder down, they can't get my valuables.
They're pulling the ladder down, bro. They're just shaking it. They're just. It would be so easy.
You're so safe from home invasion if that's your main door.
Okay, it's not. It's It's a permanent ladder.
And I'm pulling the ladder up out.
Okay. It's a fire escape ladder.
Permanent ladder. Then I'm grabbing his foot.
Oh,
and
I'm
pulling.
Good luck. I'm kicking.
Yeah. Oh,
and man. I'm wearing cleats all the time.
All I know is I would be more afraid to be the person higher on the ladder.
No way.
You would be more afraid, but the.
You're not as vulnerable.
Yeah, you got the leverage. You just start stamping down.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
With my cleats.
I mean, obviously in battle.
One good stomp on a hand, that person's going, ah! Because that's also the rules of ladders. One hand is stepped on.
That's right.
You let go with both, and you fall backwards.
I've seen them movies.
Yeah, Lion King, bro.
I'm taking the push to start.
I'm taking the ladder.
All right. We got time for one more of these, or should we be moving on?
Good luck push starting your car in Arizona.
What's that?
Oh, I didn't think about Summers.
We can do another one.
Papa Josh with us today. Judge Giamatti here as well. When you die, would you rather be turned into a diamond or have your ashes launched into space? Well, talk me out of space here.
Well, would you like to be a girl's best friend? Huh? There's a whole song about it.
Yeah, okay.
You're worth more as a diamond.
Well, yeah, but you're being like tossed into a drawer, potentially.
Maybe you could be worn and remembered all the time. You could just be.
This diamond thing is really like attractive to you.
It's interesting, but I'm more with you of like let's go.
How about a diamond launched into space?
Put my go into space. Take my ashes. Let me rejoin the stars.
I don't know that I would want, like, I would love to go to space, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that I want my ashes. Like, I won't know or remember. And now it's like.
Do you care where your ashes are?
I want someone to be able to visit me. I mean, you're personally, I don't want to be cremated.
You're not a cremation.
I'm not a cremation.
I'm not a cremation either.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to why we both chose
that. Okay, yeah. I want to hear about this.
Okay.
And right. Mike, do you have a request then?
I'm drop me off on the corner, man. I do not care.
Dude, so you can put me in the family oven.
Taxidermy me, cremate me.
Nobody's ever done 50-50, by the way.
Ooh, a half burial?
Well, that's just like a...
Half body, half cremation.
Well, you bust the top half.
Yeah.
And you flame up the legs.
Imagine doing the inverse.
These are my sweet Donnie's legs.
His top half was cremated.
Yeah.
We turned it in. We shot it into space.
Yeah, no, here's his top half. He's just in this urn. I mean,
it kind of feels like it would work the other way, but
it does. It's like totally okay. Like, I wanted to save because it's the face.
Yeah, it is.
The face is who the person is.
Well,
like,
could you just save the head and then cremate the rest to have more ashes?
I think you'd have a lot more ashes. And yeah, I mean, I would want the neck. Okay. You know? A little, because otherwise, I'm imagining this mounted on the wall, of course.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you want just the head. You got to have the neck.
This is good.
But no,
you
want to
hear why?
Yeah, why not cremated?
Why, Andy? You go first.
I mean, my reasoning is that I like a place to go.
You can still have a memorial.
To be remembered.
People have memorial areas where they keep the urns.
Well, but not like out in like a rainy cemetery.
No, yeah, they'll do those.
They'll put the urns out there?
Yeah.
Then what's the, I mean, but why? Why not just bury the body?
Because it's expensive.
It's more expensive to.
Way more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The casket
I thought through it.
The casket racket.
You know how you can get half off,
ridiculous.
Right?
That's true. You're like, what could we cut that
what are the most what are the most easily burnable parts of me? I didn't know that. I don't think that's common, at least, to have like a headstone with an urn in front of it. Like, I want the headstone. I want somebody to stroll through the cemetery and just be like, what a chap he was.
Did you know you could just put a headstone anywhere and not actually have to be there?
There is something.
You lose something.
Yeah, you absolutely lose
something. Mostly because the body's not beneath it.
Yeah, you want to visit the bones. You know? that's what you want
now,
when you
Jason,
go.
You didn't answer.
No, but so here's.
You want to visit the bones. I'm psychotic. really breaking this down.
No.
We all visit the bones of our ancestors.
I think really breaking this down you shouldn't be cremated because, like, I mean, sometimes for whatever reason, you know, body needs to be exhumed or maybe they, you know, who knows what they need in the future.
He doesn't want to lose his chance of being resurrected.
Sure, that's maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Are you already signed up for one of those cryo things?
You show me where. No, I have not yet. Not yet. Yeah, I just feel like keeping it, whatever is left of me intact is more practical.
You want to be exhumed?
Potentially.
I
feel like
he wants a family member one day when they invent something to be able to go dig into the ground, pull his DNA out, and resurrect him like a mammoth.
Because I would have assumed
do that with ash.
Someone who wants to be buried is like, do not disturb my remains.
You think it's a rest in peace situation?
Yeah.
If you're ashes, if you are now ash,
yeah.
Do you have DNA? Is that
no? Your DNA is toast, man.
Really?
It probably gets burned.
It's
up.
Toast.
Interesting.
That's ash.
Okay.
It's ash, man.
But they could do like a take a couple strands of your hair and just put them in like a baggie.
Oh, pre-burn.
No. Oh, you're saying before
The burning, you just say,
and then they just tape it on the back of the urn.
I assume I won't have hair by the time I die, but so we got to find something else. Maybe just keep a finger.
Some skin cells. That's fine. Yeah. A finger.
I mean, look, I need part of me that you visit.
Haven't you ever seen Fifth Element? They can bring them back just from a small part of something.
I have seen the
Fifth Element,
the very true story.
So you don't care.
Mm-mm.
So is it it's like spouse's choice in your situation? Like whatever you're feeling in the moment?
Yeah, if I have to make the decision, I'll go cremated.
For the sake of the show?
Okay. So
because you don't care, will you go 50-50 for us?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, why would you choose that?
Cheaper.
Interesting.
You just care about cost to the next generation.
I actually thought your reason was going to be cost, but I thought that's why you would go the other way.
The what?
I thought to drain the money.
That's my money.
That's my money. You spend it on me,
and you will respect my body and my wishes. I want to be also. I want to be buried with 50 pounds of gold.
All right, we got to
make it happen.
Quick break, and we'll be right back.
Spitballers to the rescue.
One of the things we enjoy doing on this show is answering life advice questions from people out there that maybe you need help from experts in life experts.
Right. Difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
Hard time in your life, important moral, ethical dilemmas.
Interpersonal conflicts, all the things we're experts on. All right.
Like getting buried.
Brett from the website, which I am recommending the 50-50 from this point on. Gentlemen.
It's the
best
of both worlds.
You get a half a casket.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Just cut it in half.
It's like a magician thing.
We can go split skis. Me and the wife, we just...
Oh,
one
split
casket.
So someone's got to pick legs. That means someone's got to pick legs. You're going to be wearing her legs.
No, you can put the half in each half.
No, I know, but you don't want... You don't want, like, if you put the halves right next to each other and line them up, you don't want it to look like one torso going into another torso.
Wait,
you got to have torso
one
going
burial
into
plot legs. And it's two people. All right, sorry. Life advice question from Brett on the website. It says, gentlemen, I've been married for 10 years now. My wife is an attractive lady, but I've noticed over the last few years she's starting to wear more and more makeup in order to combat her aging.
Mm.
I appreciate that she's wanting to maintain her looks, but I'm not digging the new too much makeup look.
Oh.
How do I bring this up without getting myself into hot water? I've tried dropping the I think you're pretty without makeup line, but she's not biting.
You have come to the right place, because if I know anything about Jason Moore, he knows the answer to this question.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, I don't know this answer, but Jason probably does.
Look, Brett, I hope that is not your name, okay? I hope that you are using an alias here. Because otherwise, I mean, your wife knows who you are. You know, she sees what you're seeing. She knows that you don't like it, but she's making a choice. She's thinking that this one is better than the alternative. Because careful what you wish for, Brett. Careful what you wish for. You think, oh, yeah, I like this. She's trying to keep up her appearance. I don't like the makeup that much. What if she goes no makeup?
See,
and you go.
The last line was, I think you're pretty without makeup.
he doesn't know.
He does know.
I don't know, man. I think maybe
is she like the oh, what was the shows where it's like the wife has to wake up before the husband so they can get all the makeup on. I think that was a thing like in the older times.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
Like never reveal your face.
You will never see me without makeup.
That's
a real thing.
That was a real thing.
Look, the answer is clearly you're screwed. You have no opportunity to say anything here. I have no answer for you.
Okay.
I cannot fathom one sentence that would possibly successfully work if I think you're pretty without makeup did not work.
All right. How about this? A nice, you know, pretty hefty gift certificate to a nice, like, spa.
Okay.
And you're going to leave it open, right? You know, you could go get a massage, you know?
Uh-huh.
But you could go get Botox. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's her choice. But, like, they, you know, find a nice place that does good facial work.
How do you convince somebody to take off makeup?
Yeah.
But if she's doing this to combat her aging, I've got an idea.
My idea was, what if you start talking about yourself? Say, hey, the crow's feet, they're coming in. Because of my scowl, my resting angry face, I have
you got the lines?
Like the line between my eyes the wrinkle is about as deep as it possibly gets. So you say, I'm self-conscious about these things for me. I'm going to go. And then you go in and you get yourself a little.
I thought you were going to say, even with all these, I'm just going to age gracefully. But no. It was, I'm going to go get this fixed.
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
And then you get rid of your wrinkles too.
She's not going to stop wearing makeup.
If she's doing this to combat her aging, then she will not feel like she has to cake it on when she's less wrinkled. This is brilliant, Mike.
I have two other ideas.
Fix your face.
Progressively reduce the size of all her makeup tools to be smaller and smaller every day.
How do you do that? Practically speaking, how do you take a makeup brush and then tomorrow have it be a slightly smaller makeup brush?
You buy a series of smaller brushes and change them out slowly over time. Okay. And that way it's at least more burdensome and maybe she gets tired of it.
Are we talking like you would notice the difference from day one to day two, or it's gradual? That this whole plan will take you years.
I'm hoping that, yes, it will take years, and I'm hoping that she just gets tired of how long it's taking with the smaller and smaller brushes. Or you get a hold of all her recent pictures, and you Photoshop them so they're so much worse than reality, so that she connects the dots to looking bad in photos to too much makeup.
I think that won't work. I think that will cause more makeup. How about alternatively?
Oh, no, to cover up what she thinks she looks
like. Yeah, exactly. What if you start applying makeup, Brett?
Your own?
She might not like it. And she asks you, I don't think I like you with blush. And you say, back at you, babe. Huh?
Do they make makeup that's like that, they have the markers where like if you draw on a certain kind of paper, it doesn't show up at all?
Mm-hmm.
Like invisible ink.
Could we have invisible? Is there an invisible makeup situation?
Ooh.
Maybe she just wants the habit.
She just needs the process.
We are out of our
We have
depth.
No idea.
We have no out idea. Of our depth, Mike. This is our depth.
Okay, well, I'm sticking with mine then.
I'm sticking with Mike's.
You know what? If she doesn't want it, I'm still going to go gonna go take care of my wrinkles.
Absolutely. I'm with Mike on this. Go Botox your face, Brett, if that is even your name.
Martin from Patreon recently found out that a Christmas present we were given by my in-laws this year was actually given to them by my brother-in-law. I want to give it to my brother-in-law next Christmas. My wife says no. How do I let my in-laws know that we know without bringing it up directly? This partially reminds me of a very funny video that I saw where an older grandmother at a Christmas event with her whole family, they had secretly taken items from her own house, wrapped them all up and given them sequentially to her as her presents from the family.
Oh my gosh.
Or actually, no, they
were giving
them
it
up
to each other.
They were giving them to each other and then they would open them up and then she'd end up going, I have something just like that. And they did it 4 or 5 times. And then eventually she realized, she goes, wait, guys, did you wrap up things from the house? But the regifting is let's just call a spade, when you can do it and you just unlocked not having to buy a gift, it's pretty great.
It's fantastic, because the truth is you don't re-gift stuff you love, right?
Correct.
But you're
correct.
Also not trying to give a bad gift, so you think it's re-giftable and someone else it might apply to better. So it is a win-win. You get rid of nonsense you don't need in your life. You don't have to buy a gift. And hopefully, if it's a re-gift done well, then it's still loved by the receiver. Now, let's call a spade a spade. That's 1% of the time. That's 1% of the time that re-gifting is loved by the...
You're saying because if a crap gift is a crap gift, it's a crap gift.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
This was risky, by the way. The in-laws from the brother-in-law. This is an inter-family re-gifting. That was a risk they took.
I'm trying to figure out what's most important here to Martin, because he says, how do I let my in-laws know we know? So is that what it comes down to, is that Martin simply wants them to know that we know you re-gifted?
I think maybe he wants them to know so that when the gift is given at Christmas to the brother-in-law, they're both in on it. Because that would be funny.
So here's the thing. So you want to give it to your brother-in-law next Christmas. Wife says no. I just recommend two gifts. Get a gift that you...
A real gift.
And then also wrap this one.
Yeah.
And give it to them and then just give them that stare down when
the jig is
stare
up.
Stare in their eyes when they open it.
We should... I'm bringing a public service here. Re-gifting... We need to remove all negative social stigma upon regifting.
You're saying, because it's the consequence of buying a bad gift for somebody.
It happens. Like, you're giving someone a gift. Sometimes you hit the mark. Sometimes you do not. And you know what? If you get someone something they don't want, it's okay. That should not then all of a sudden be the gift giver has to, oh, I'm so insulted you didn't like my gift. You were the one who screwed up. And it's okay, because sometimes you miss, and like, should be able to give it to someone else.
Not every person can handle that, Mike.
That's why I'm putting it out there that people need to cut that crap out.
It's very Mike of you.
The people.
I'm sorry for being pragmatic.
There are a certain category of people.
Yeah, got to get over it.
Who find a lot of necessary value in the...
Getting the perfect gift?
Not just in the reaction.
Yeah, the reaction to the gift.
Of the gift. Like, they really need to know how much you love what I just got you. So important.
You need to ham it up for.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad.
Mike doesn't like any of this.
No, I don't.
These social situations.
No, I
do
don't like.
Do you not have those people in your life?
I'm aware of it. I have experienced it. But what I don't like then is it is no longer... I am giving you a gift because I want you to have a gift. And now it's, I'm doing something that you think is for you, but guess what? It's about me.
Yeah, that is.
Yes, it is.
That is 100% what those people are doing.
But, the reaction maybe. But if you give somebody something that you think that they're going to really enjoy, and then later on you get to watch them enjoy it, it is very satisfying.
Sure.
Because you're happy for them. That's not about you. Like, my sister got me a hat for Christmas that she put effort into getting. And I didn't know this, but she had been watching our footballer show every day until I finally wore the hat. And then she was really excited that I wore the hat on the show.
Right.
Was that about her?
No, but if you had not liked the hat, you never would have worn it.
Correct.
But my point being is that it should not matter. If you give a gift to someone, you're hoping they enjoy it. It will bring you joy as the gift giver to see them
There's a lot of guilt mixed up in gifts.
Yeah. That's the right word.
There can be guilt mixed up
guilty
in gifts.
Guilty gifts.
It's a gift.
This is why I hate gifts. This is why I hate gifts. I hate them. I hate receiving gifts.
The worst thing you could ever get somebody is like a big painting.
Oh.
That's the worst gift you can give.
Yeah.
Even if you think it's the best painting ever.
You got to do the thing where you have that painting nearby and you swap it out when they come over.
Oh, you were stuck. Because if somebody gives you something like that, you either have to hang it somewhere prominent or have a reason why you don't.
Oh, man. Coming up with a reason why you don't is not good here.
No, that's where you literally, it might be better to rent a house and just be like, yeah, I have it in the other house. Like, just to protect yourself.
I mean, if it's fine art, that one's easy. We got robbed.
Ooh, oh, nice, nice. Nice one.
They
yeah.
only took the painting. They
spilled orange juice on it. On
Look,
the wall?
It was a thief of such distinguished yeah. taste.
He climbed the ladder, got the painting, climbed down the ladder, and took off. All right. I think we settled that one.
We did.
Brandy from Patreon, one last life advice question for us. I bought a mini fridge off of Amazon. It had a tiny dent in the corner. I mentioned it to Amazon, and they said because a fridge is listed as a food item, they cannot accept a return. They said they're sending me another mini fridge at no cost and to dispose of the old one. Is it wrong to sell the dented one when I was told to dispose of it? Is this stealing or unsavory? No. It's not unsavory at all.
No.
Yeah, you're not doing nothing wrong. They told you to keep it.
Yeah, can you sell trash? Yeah, that's not wrong or unsavory.
Yeah, it's just no one's probably buying it, but they're going to buy this fridge.
Now, it's a mini fridge, so you could double deck this thing. You know what I mean? You could just go one
Amazon,
on top of the other. Keep them both.
Amazon's not in the business of like guaranteeing this hits the landfill in order to allow them to send you a second one. That's not how it works. So, yeah, this is yours to do what you will.
Now, personally, I'm viewing this like we do fantasy football. I'm trading the not dented one, or selling.
Oh,
the
you're
not-
gonna keep the dented
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with the dent?
Yeah, what's wrong with the dent? But it's gonna lose me money on my resale. Now I gotta. I'm selling a brand new refrigerator, or I'm selling a dented used
you
one.
You could probably now. Here's where you would get a problem, maybe. If you same exact scenario, you get the new fridge in. You're supposed to dispose of the old one. You decide to return the fridge. You return the new fridge without a dent. You get a full refund. You still have the old dented fridge.
And that is the answer.
I don't think there's anything.
Because if you're
that.
Saying you can sell the non-dented fridge to the public, can you refund the non-dented fridge and keep?
I feel like if the company reaches out and says we're going to send you a new fridge, don't send it back. Like we can't accept it because of actual rules and laws about these things. Then you just say, just refund me the money.
And then they'll be like, please send us the dented fridge back.
But they can't. They can't take it back. It's the weird thing, you know, when you go to just a restaurant or especially fast food because you see it happen.
Oh, yeah. They just
you walk up to the counter, you say, I ordered this without mustard. And I bring that because mustard, if mustard's on a burger, it's there.
Better.
You can't. I'm saying if you don't like mustard, you can't take it off because it will still taste like mustard. They say, oh, we'll fix that for you right away. Then they just throw it in the garbage. And you're like, well hold on. Someone will eat this burger.
Garbage will eat it.
And that someone is me.
Yeah, I got a friend
here. I got mustard on this. I'm going to need it redone. I'm a hold on to it.
I'm not condoning to work the system, but I'm saying if they screw up, like, there's got to be a better way for us than just throwing away, like, food that's ready for someone to eat.
At least give it to one of the employees.
You should have one person in the back that eats it all.
That's what I'm saying.
Ted.
Yeah.
Ted's in the back. You give him all the food that came out wrong.
Teddy trash can.
All right. Quick break. Back with our draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are looking at hobbies. Hobbies you'd like to try at some point in your life. We are drafting hobbies you'd like to try.
Yes.
I'm excited about this. There are some things in my list that I've done before, and I think I'm going to take those off.
Okay.
Just under the premise that, like, I really want to pick stuff that I've never done before in my life that I'm interested in trying.
You sure. all,
you're allowed.
You could have also just drafted things and said you've never done it, and we would not know.
See, that's unsavory.
Okay, that's like keeping
it's
the fridge.
Man of principle,
Mike.
All right, I'm the first pick.
Yeah, what do you want to try? What's your hobby that you're interested in?
I've talked about this hobby many times on this show. I still have never tried it. I've never gotten the opportunity to try, but it's because I have not made that opportunity happen. There's no one to blame but myself.
That's with all of these.
I think I know what it is. What letter does it start with?
Starts with a B.
Blacksmithing.
Blacksmithing.
Yeah.
The creation and formation of things out of metal is so fascinating to me.
It's really got you, huh?
This, because, like, you know how you can get trapped in the swiping of certain videos catch your eye? Like, if I ever get hit with the algo of people, it is outside is snow. There's snow everywhere. It's coming down, but you're in this warm house with a furnace, and then you're able to do blacksmithing, and they're beating the crap out of forming a sword on an anvil. Something about it is just like there's something deep inside
your
of me.
Nordic background,
yes, yeah, possibly
or dwarven potentially
could right, be that as beard, well. Yeah. But there's just something about making. Fastening something out of metal with your hands sounds so appealing.
Do you
and
like
so
the,
awesome.
You, the romanticized, like you finish the long day's work, you go into the bathroom, you look in the mirror, you're kind of just,
oh,
you have
yeah.
a glisten, with a black glisten.
Yeah, I've got the ash, I guess.
Yeah,
I
sure,
don't know.
Sure.
Soot.
Soot. I was going to say soot, but does that happen, Josh?
Can't be soot.
You can get soot from blacksmithing?
Are you a blacksmither?
It is definitely soot.
Okay, totally. So I'm just covered in soot. Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be...
That's
a day's work.
Yeah.
All right. When that's what hobbies are, it's a day's work. okay. All right. I'm going to go. So
wow, Jay, it's your first pick.
The problem that I have with this draft in general is I want to draft something or several things on my list. I want to do it. Knowing that I would then be good at this hobby. But
okay.
That's not really what's happening here. We're just trying something.
No, you're going to find out whether you like it.
Exactly. And I already know on some of these it's not going to work out.
So do you really want to try them? Like, if you had the chance to go try one today, that's how you have to draft.
So the number one thing that I would want, I am not going to draft because for the same reason I haven't done it in real life. Because I don't think I'd be good at it. I would love to be good at it. I'll leave that in case one of you guys drafts it.
Okay.
Instead, something I think I would do fine at. I would enjoy. I would love. And in fact, I got a taste of this recently, a couple months ago, and man, did I fall in love with it. And it's fallen out of the sky. I would love to do skydiving, but like as a hobby, not
why
like
did,
go
why did
skydiving.
You got
once.
A taste of it.
He did the indoor.
I did the I fly,
oh,
the
that
indoor
is a
skydiving.
Taste. That is a taste,
and it was so much fun to me. It was. I loved it way more than I thought. I thought it would just be like that neat, and I was like, this is awesome. And so like if I did
skydiving
as a hobby, I don't want to go skydiving. Like I don't even want to go try it once. I would want to get into it. Where like. Sundays are, you know,
you're
I go
a
sky
bunch of jumps.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like that's just part of
like
what I like doing
Jason
in my life.
Jason the skydiver.
Yeah.
That's what they call him.
That's what they would call me.
Covered in soot after a hard day's work. All right. So skydiving.
Yeah. All right.
All right, my first pick here.
Wait. When you asked now that I'm looking back at it.
Uh-huh.
You said I got a taste of this.
Yeah,
did you think like I fell down the stairs? Something like I was on my roof and I was like, whoa, into the bush.
I did have the mental picture of you jumping like 10 feet from something and being like, this is a good time.
It's hard to get a taste of skydiving.
That's why I laughed at. But you really, going to an indoor one was a taste.
Yeah.
He's got a cape strapped.
He jumped off his roof once. And he's
patio.
Like, you know what? All right. My first pick is going to be something I've never done. That people enjoy tremendously.
So he says he's never done.
Right. People build a lot of their lives around this hobby. But I've never done it. And I'm going to turn 40 this year. And that is skiing and snowboarding.
Oh.
I've never done it. I know people that like they're obsessive about it. Every winter, they go on ski trips. People seem to absolutely love it. So it seems like something I should have tried. But now I feel like, you know, 20 was about the right age to ski. I feel like now my odds of hitting the tree, much higher.
It's not the tree you need to worry. You need to worry about your bum. I've been snowboarding one time,
Okay.
And
all right.
During the training, like the first time I went down any sort of hill, I ate it. I bruised the crap out of my tailbone immediately at the beginning of this ski trip. And I'm telling you, this was a new pain. this was a pain where I'm like, I mean, we have more days. First, I got to finish this day, and then we have more days. I'm like,
it was like a burden.
I don't really need to do it.
Now, let me ask you, Andy, you said skiing and snowboarding. Well, we can give you both. But if you had.
That's 100% why I said it like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you were to go
and do it
to Big Bowl now, or whatever, you would choose skiing.
I would choose skiing.
Yeah. I would too, because
I believe it's easier.
Yeah, it has to be.
It is.
You have two legs instead of one. I mean.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fall on your bum when you fall.
Right.
Maybe.
It's far less likely.
Oh,
you do the splits instead.
And dude, the terror of the ski lift when you have no idea what you're doing is rough. It's rough. Get your kids skiing so they know how to do it. But learning as an adult, I'd be surprised to learn what are the actual numbers of people who have never done anything like that and then they pick up skiing later in their life.
My second pick is going to be fishing.
Okay.
Which I have fished before, barely, but I'm really thinking of the kind of picturesque a river runs through it, fly fishing.
Okay.
Because
all right. So you're out there.
I'm wading in with those rubber boots.
I believe they're called waders.
I'm wading in with my wader. I think it probably is. But it's like the river is right there and it's serene and it's quiet. And like, again, this is something people do a lot of and I've never tried it. And I think that's what we're drafting.
Yeah, they are called waiters.
Really?
A hobby I'd like to try.
Can I take your order, please? Got it.
But with a D.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Fly fishing is...
Have you been fly fishing?
I have not.
That seems like... That's like advanced fishing.
Yeah, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, but it does seem... Just the idea of a peaceful day fishing.
But you got to stand the whole time. See, if I was...
That's true.
If I was fishing... If I wanted to go fishing, I think I would want to be
standard lazy boy fishing.
Yeah. Can I bring a lazy boy on a boat?
You can.
Fish from my lazy boy?
Yeah. Hold the fishing rod. And
now, do you want?
I just want a lazy boy on a boat.
Would you rather lake fish or deep sea fish?
I think I would rather lake fish.
Oh, lake
I'm
fish.
Not man enough for deep. Like, deep sea fishing would be awesome and cool, but I would die. I would probably end up dying.
Seasickness, bro.
I'm not worried about that. I don't
worried about
seasickness.
The marlin.
I'm worried about the fish and the ocean and the boat. You know, those things.
Okay.
All right, Jason, you get to pick another hobby.
All right. You know what? I'll wait one more round for this
okay.
one because I know
you were just going to take it.
Well, I know Mike can't take it. So, I'm going to go with home brewing. /distilling.
It's on my list.
That's a great, great pick.
It's on my
list. It's like, you know, I love whiskeys. I don't really know how they're made.
I'm going to make a contention here that you have a higher likelihood of dying with that hobby than you would open sea fishing.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, because one of them I will do and one of them I wouldn't.
What are the dangers?
Yeah,
chemicals.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in
like poison?
Like, I'm afraid he won't ventilate properly.
You have to
That's
ventilate?
That's a problem?
See, he didn't know you had to ventilate.
Jay, we would have been gone
first batch.
Yeah.
First batch, two guys in the basement.
Can you do it outside? Can I brew in the backyard brews?
Hey, Papa Josh, I'm not wrong about this, right? I mean, that's like a big part of home brewing.
Yeah, you got to vent the stuff or it'll just explode.
Or it'll explode?
And with home brewing, you put it in a giant glass jar called a carboy, and that would be bad.
Yeah, I would only want a busboy, so... all right.
Woo! That's a good one.
If only I could hit some
busted.
Crickets.
All right. That's all I get.
Yeah.
I thought
You're
I
not
got to
take another pick.
I was thinking about it.
All right. Let's see. I can't believe it's on my list and I'm looking at it going, "Yeah. Yeah.
You're taking it?"
Yeah. Bird watching.
Oh,
yeah!
Dude, I almost put it on my list. It's so...
I got no problem with that.
Guys, we're so old. We are so...
You can sit, too. You don't have to stand.
That's what's great. I sit in the forest. It's beautiful. And then I just look... I even look at birds.
Oh, I'm not against this. Now it is, if you look up on the chart, Mike, it is the opposite of blacksmithing.
Yes.
Those are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But I'm all about bird watching. That's good.
You do not have to be old. I'm telling you. So I had a girlfriend in college who was a bird watcher. She had like this massive.
Her name was Esther.
She was 63 years old. And she gave a heck of a back rub. No, but like she was a legitimate bird watcher, had like this giant book of all the photographs, and she knew every name, like real nerd stuff. And I participated a few times, and it's like, it's awesome. It's so nice. You get a nice set of binoculars.
Get your bird on, man.
You get a nice set of binoculars, and you start actually like, it was just relaxing and fun. I thought about putting it on my list, but I thought, man, it would not go over well.
Yeah, well.
I'm shocked you took bird watching, but I'm full endorsement.
I like to just sit. Sitting is good. Sitting out in a nature-esque, peaceful area, that's great. And I like birds. I like to be surrounded by birds singing.
Okay.
So I may as well throw in some binocs and see what they're doing up there.
And have you seen they have these like $5,000-$6,000 binoculars where it'll like identify with AI the species inside the binocular?
Even better.
All right. Blacksmithing and bird watching.
All
that's
right.
Mike.
So I get another one here.
You get another bee hobby.
I'm out.
Bowling.
Ooh, I do like bowling. It's fun. I am going to go with, I'll go astronomy.
Interesting.
If you've listened to the show, I'm very into space. My daughter is also very into space. And so, you know, when it's nice at night, frequently we'll just go and kind of, you know, see what we can see up there, try and identify some constellations. I got all the nerd apps, and I am the guy who I know like one thing about space, and where it's up. So I know two things. but almost always like the brightest star in the sky is Venus. So when you get to like drop that bomb on people, they're like they think they know what it is. You're like, no, that's Venus. Like, well, are you sure? And then you pull out the app. You're like, oh, yeah, it is. And people are wowed. That's a little nugget. Keep it in your pocket.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And also,
I'm telling you this. If I pull that app out and it's like, that's the North Star or whatever, I'm going to be so mad at you, Michael.
Here's your other thing. Planets don't twinkle.
Okay. Planets don't twinkle.
Planets don't twinkle because they're too close so that the reason
there's
that
no twinkle, twinkle little planet.
Correct.
Sounds like a hobby he's already tried.
Correct. But I don't have a telescope or anything like that, so I'd be interested in spending all the monies and
that's a good one.
I could have regifted you a telescope when I was 15 years old.
Well, I didn't know you.
Yeah. Esther had one.
Yeah, my mom thought I wanted a telescope, and I did not.
Well, sounds awesome.
Skydiving and home brewing, Jason. That's what you got. So, what's your third pick?
Oh well, this one was the one that I knew Mike couldn't draft because he already does this. He can't try this hobby.
Okay.
Dungeons and Dragons, man. I mean, we
my man. Yes. My man.
It sounds awesome. We know people that do it.
It is.
It's right up all of our nerd alleys.
Cool people.
Yeah,
alley.
I'm sorry. This is not Jason. For nerds.
Yeah.
It's for cool people doing really cool things, and it sounds fun. It seems fun. Everybody that I know that has done it has enjoyed it, and I'm definitely cool enough to thrive at Dungeons & Dragons. That would be fun. I would add that.
Dude, we got to get a game going. I've not looked at Josh, but I can feel him. I can feel his energy radiating right now.
All right. Is it it's up to me?
It is. Back to you.
My third pick is going to be the combination of running a vineyard winery.
Ooh.
Because at first I thought about going, I'll just be transparent. I thought I was going to do like gardening. Then I was like, maybe like trees, like an orchard, which by the way, they're called orchardists, which I've never heard that before.
Orchardist?
What? Yeah, that's like the name.
That's the word we settled on?
I literally said, what do you call a person who runs an orchard? And it's an orchardist.
Yeah.
But then I realized it's more like the wine thing is perfect because you're like cultivating. So that's the gardening part.
Okay.
And you're making you've got all these grapes and
are you going to do the stamping?
I might hire out for the stamping. I will do the tending to the vines.
Okay.
So this I might hire out for the tending to the vines.
Okay, so this
but
hobby,
I'll do the observing. I'll do the tasting.
Andy wants to live on a vineyard.
So
that's this, where he
just, it wouldn't be bad.
This hobby is employment.
Well, you see, Jason, I was making jokes.
Business owner.
I was making jokes. Okay. I would actually like the combination of taking care of plants and then reaping the rewards. You know,
sure.
Similar to why you chose the distillery beer making thing. It's just that you go out and you maintain plants, which I think is rewarding if you do it well. And then you you
I
make
can
some
see
wine.
That.
Okay.
So I'm trying to. I got one more pick.
You got some fish and some wine. You need a dessert in here.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bunch of different. I'm gonna say.
Oh, he's torn.
I'm torn because I have stuff that I've actually done a little bit of, and I don't want to pick it. Like kayaking would be one that I could think about.
Okay.
Like, I think that'd be fun, or just like boating in general. But I've done a little bit of it. I even had hang gliding on here, which is kind of similar to like skydiving.
Yeah.
Wait, have you done hang gliding?
No.
Oh,
he got a little taste of it though.
Yeah, the other day he fell off my bike.
He was holding a piece of cardboard and he ran real fast.
But I think.
Wow.
I think I'm going to go with. No. I think I'm going to go with whatever. What's a person that has an aquarium?
Aquariumist.
What would you call that? That's a hobby, right?
Yeah.
People keep an aquarium?
Yeah.
That's. I'm going to do that.
So you're taking fishing twice.
Aquarium dentist.
A different kind of fishing. One I eat, I catch them, and I put them in the aquarium.
Nice.
Oh.
That's next level.
It's double dipping.
Yeah. Is that legal?
So is it fish taking?
They all die.
Fish taking.
Fish tankologist.
Is that a bad choice?
No.
That's a done deal, man.
No, I think that's a great choice.
Aquarium.
I think if you knew what you were doing, wouldn't that be fun to do?
Yeah, if you had.
Like a big one.
Yes. Yeah, a gigantic aquarium.
Yeah, like in my aquarium room.
I have had, like growing up, we got a really nice fish tank.
An aquarist? Josh, is that what we're seeing?
An aquarist.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
congrats.
We'll stick with aquarium.
But it was for me, and obviously I know I'm like the anti-museum guy. It was so unfulfilling to me, like just like it.
Like
won.
You talk to the fish, they don't talk back.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Are you saying going to a big aquarium?
I'm just saying no.
Isn't
like
it
when
fun
you
to
got
go to one
aquarium,
though.
Oh, yeah, if you dude. Go to if there's you know piranhas and sharks or just crazy. Big
oh, there'll
fish
be sharks
whatever.
In my tank.
Well, sure. Okay. Well, I didn't know you were having a shark. In your house. That's awesome.
Little ones.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that because I don't know anything about that.
Like baby shark?
You know, honestly.
All right. Yeah.
On fire. All right, Jay. What's your last pick?
All right.
Don't do stand-up comedy.
This is one that I don't know that I could. It's very similar, Andy, to your skiing, snowboarding, where if you started it in your 20s, you're good.
I know.
I don't
think
I
know
can.
What it is.
I don't think I can really succeed, but I would
it's
definitely.
Reading.
Yeah, exactly.
I got hurt.
I would love to try it. I think it would be so much fun, and that would be surfing.
Okay,
that's such a better pick than aquarium. That's such a better pick. That's a great pick.
Thanks. But I surfing. I mean the. If I grew up in California, I would have done surfing.
Right.
Yeah, grew up in Arizona.
You
don't
blonde.
Really have a lot of options for surfing.
I think you could still pick it up.
I just don't know if I can
put it down.
Get up on the board.
I think you could.
I've got good strong legs. I got.
Well,
big,
you got
it.
Yeah. You got to get a good. You got to get
it. Hindquarters.
You got to get a good chest push though.
Is that the
yeah?
Because
well,
you
you're
can
on
do
the,
that.
You're on the belly.
Yeah,
as you paddle, and then you do a basically like a really intense
how do you
push-up.
Do on like standing up in general?
Pretty poor. So that's my worry.
What about standing up from your belly?
Can you start surfing standing up?
The first
have they figured that one out yet?
The first thing you should do if you really want to get into it is on a daily basis just get on your belly on the ground, and then just try to get up. From there.
I do not want to do surfing anymore.
And then put yourself on a board in the ocean.
That, yeah. But that seems like it would be a ton of fun. Sure. And you're on the ocean. You're in the ocean. That's fun.
It's way more fun than an aquarium. All right, Mike, blacksmithing, bird watching, astronomy, and?
And if you thought Jason wasn't nerdy enough with his D&D pick, LARPing.
Oh, my.
LARPing, baby. Goodness.
Are you serious?
For those who do not know, we're not looking at Andy's eyes. Live action role play.
Super nerdy.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, but how?
Fireball.
How much fun would it be?
It would be so not fun.
Oh, it would. I think
you're saying
be,
just buying all the way in.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. Like, if you go out there being like, this is stupid and everyone here is a nerd, it's going to be the worst experience of your life.
And
like,
that's how I would go out.
Okay, have
yeah,
you been?
Me too. I couldn't do
I
it.
I don't
I
think
couldn't
a,
fake
if
it
I
long
saw
enough.
Them in a field, I couldn't do it, man.
I think that if you can allow yourself to buy in, it would be just an incredible time.
This isn't.
Have you ever done any Ren Faire stuff?
Not I pretended to be from the 1400s.
I have gone to the Renaissance Fair.
Right, and you're not you when you look at everyone who's costume man. Up because it's like 95% of people.
Yes, that proves my point, Mike. When I go to the Renaissance Festival, I see these people. I'm like, oh my goodness, this
you,
is so too
like,
much.
You go like medieval times. You're not looking at them.
Medieval
wrong.
Times is great. Those are
they're
actors.
LARPing.
They're actors paid to act. They're doing a performance. They're performing.
Yeah, Denzel Washington is not a LARP.
When you're LARPing. It's you're make-believing, which is great yeah. for children. I highly encourage all children.
The medieval times people are make-believing.
They are. You, there's
no,
a script.
I'm on Jason's
there's
side
a
with this
script.
One.
They're
right.
putting
know on
who's
a show.
Going to win. They're like, putting on a show.
If so the LARPers charge tickets to watch them LARP, they would be entertainers, not LARPers.
Right.
They are doing it for their own personal entertainment.
So that's the difference.
That
so
is the difference.
It yes. becomes not nerdy if people are paying
yes.
to watch.
Yes.
Yes.
yes. Very
yes.
much
weird,
super not nerdy uh-huh. in that situation.
yeah, but I mean,
because there's like an entire profession that we as a society put at the top of our prestige, and all they do is they pretend to do stuff.
Yes,
it's on the
acting.
Top. It's on the tip top of my yeah. prestige. Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
At the very bottom, LARPing.
All right, blacksmithing, bird watching, astronomy, and LARPing. Jason with skydiving, homebrewing, D&D, and surfing. I went with skiing, fishing, growing a vineyard. Okay.
And aquarium. But it took you quite a while to select aquarium.
I don't, you know, I really couldn't find that last one. I should have just gone with surfing.
Yeah.
What did we learn today?
Look, I'll tell you right off the bat. I learned that an orchard maker is an orchardist. That's stupid.
I learned that we should get into business half off sales for going on the 50-50.
You want to split a casket?
I would love to split a
Thank
casket.
Thank you.
Dibs on top.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, your legs.
I've learned that there is a very strong lacking of front doors on the second story of
yeah.
houses.
Yeah, well, it's a new business. I want Jason to try to catch me up a ladder, though. Come at me, bro.
All right. I will just pull the bottom.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.